James chapter number 4. I'm going to read verse number 8. James 4 and verse number 8. Blessed Heavenly Father, God, as I bow again this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus, thanking you, dear God, for being able to be here. Thank you, dear Lord, for your good presence. Thank you, dear God, for all that you've done. We do thank you, Lord, for how you met with our hearts last night. But, oh, dear God, we need something tonight. And dear Lord, we know where our help comes from. And our Father, we're looking to Thee for that tonight. Our Father, I pray that You'd help us with the Word of God. May the Spirit of God move in this place in great power tonight. Oh, dear God, that touch every heart in the house. I pray for that one that's lost without Christ, that this would be the hour they'd come to know Him. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd help every child of God. Oh, God, I pray now, dear Lord, that You'd encourage our hearts. I pray for those that are not able to be here tonight because of sickness. I pray, dear God, for Miss Renee. Dear Lord, that You'd touch her and raise her up. Oh, dear God, You know all about it. You are the great physician. And dear God, You do everything well. And I pray You'd touch her. I pray You'd touch my dear wife tonight. Oh, dear God, she'd love to be here. And I'd love for her to be here. And our Father, I pray that You'd touch those round about us tonight that we don't know about, that are loved to be in the house of God and are not able. So we thank You, Lord, for the privilege we have. I pray that You would make it easy to preach. And may the good will of God be done in all of our hearts. And we'll be careful to thank You and to praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name I pray, and just for His sake, amen and amen. James chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I'm interested in this phrase. Draw nigh to God. I want to preach on that subject for a little while tonight. Drawing nigh to God. I'm glad that we've got a God that we can get close to. Now, there's people that I've been knowing for years and years, and I've never been able to get close to them. But I'm glad that my God is not that way. I'm glad that I've got a God that likes close living. That He wants us to be close to Him. And so, in our verse, we see the power of God. Draw nigh to God. And so there is a power that can draw us nigh to God. And then we see the promise of God. And He will draw nigh to you. He didn't say, I might. He didn't say, I'll try. But He said He would. And then the purpose of God. To cleanse your hands. The closer we are to God, the cleaner we are. And so I thank God for that. And our God is a great, great God. He's the only great God. And the world says this about our God. Said, well, you talk about how great your God is and how mighty and how big. Said, how would you move that big of a God? Well, how do we move God? By going toward God. You're trying to figure out, said, well, how can I move God? You just start toward Him. by going toward God will move him. Not only by going toward God, but by giving to God. You want to move God, you start giving to God. And He'll kick a window out and give you more than you can get to the house with. We can move. Our God is a big God. And our God's a great God, but we can move Him by going toward God, by giving to God, but by glorying in God. You start glorying in God and giving God all the glory and all the honor, and He'll come by, and He'll get closer and closer and closer. The more glory you give Him, the closer He will get to you. So I praise Him and I bless Him and thank Him tonight that we have a God that we can move. And so the book of James, I love the book of James, and I love to study the book of James. And it's a great book in the Bible. And it centers around the people of God. And James is really saying this. It says in chapter number 1 and verse number 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now here is the theme. You probably won't find this in a commentary. But the theme of the book of James to me is this. James was simply saying, "I don't see what you're saying." He said, "I don't see what you're saying." Now, that's the way we talk. And you watch yourself when you're talking to somebody and you'll say, "Well, I don't see what you're saying." Instead of us saying, "I don't hear what you're saying," we say, "I don't see what you're saying." But if you put it in practice and you perform it, and then I'll say, "Oh, I see what you're saying." So James is saying, "You're saying a lot I don't see." In other words, what he's saying was, if you're saying it, show it to me. I want to see it. But in spite of all of that, there's a God of all grace that's on His throne tonight that the child of God can get close to. Drawing nigh to God, three things I'm through. You said, "All right, preacher." Said, "How are we going to draw nigh to our God?" First of all, we're going to look at the beginning of drawing nigh to God. There has to be a beginning. There has to be a starting place. You can sit on that pew at the service tonight and say, "Well, I've got to go to the house." But if you don't ever begin, hello? You'll still be there Sunday morning when they get back here. But if you begin, you've got to start. There is a beginning. To go anywhere, you've got to get started. You've got to make a move at it. Now watch your Bible, verse number 10. The beginning of drawing nigh to God is in humility. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." That is the beginning of drawing nigh to God, is when we humble ourselves before a righteous and a holy God. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that we can humble ourselves and come and get close to our God. So the beginning of drawing nigh to God is in humility. But not only is it in humility, but the beginning of drawing nigh to God is in holiness. Now watch your Bible. Verse number 8. "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, Purify your hearts. You're double-minded. Now, the drawing out of God is in humility, but it's also in holiness. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, we come to the house of God, and sometimes we wonder why that we get here and we don't see God. Said, well, I didn't see anything of God today. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, some people, I've heard this said, and they call some people holy rollers. I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't hurt some of us Baptists to be rolled in just a little holy. It wouldn't hurt us. No, it wouldn't hurt us. But I'll tell you, we are trying to get close and stay close to a holy, righteous God. And without holiness, you can't see Him. And sometimes that's the reason why that we can't see Him. We draw out of God in humility and in holiness. But then we draw out of God in hunger. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You will have to be hungry for God. You'll get close to God if you've got an appetite for God. You'll move toward God if you have a hunger for Him and for the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to preach to people that are hungry for the things of God and the Word of God. Oh, thank God. It's easy to feed a crowd that's hungry. But you've got a job to try to force feed a crowd that ain't hungry. That's already eat somewhere else before they got to the house of God. That they've already got full of the world and something else. You'll have to force feed them and they won't keep it down. But you'll get close to God when you get a hunger for God. When there's a longing in your heart and you can't hardly wait to get to the house of God to hear somebody sing a song and hear the man of God take the Bible and begin to preach the Word of God, and there's a hunger down in your heart, you don't get close to God through hunger. But we're getting a drawing out of God is in humility and holiness and in hunger. Drawing out of God. How we're going to get close to Him. The beginning of drawing nigh to God. Now watch your Bible, verse number 9. Number 2. Drawing out of God. The battle of drawing nigh to God. Verse number 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your life to be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. It is a battle to draw nigh to God. You said, well, I didn't know that. Well, it sounds to me like it would be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your life to be turned to mourning, your joy to heavy. Sounds like a battle to me. Don't sound like going to a picnic or a party, but it sounds like it's a battle to draw nigh to God. Now there are certain people that say, well, I have no trouble living close to God. You better hold your coat. He'll steal something and blame it on you. Hello, I'm saying to you, it's a battle to draw nigh to God. It's a battle to stay close to God. To be afflicted is to cause pain, distress, to try, torment, torture. Paul had a problem. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, he said, that I would, I wouldn't, and that I wouldn't, I would.
You said, what did you say? I said, Paul said that it was easier said than done. That's exactly what he said, Pastor. He said, this thing's easier said than done. But that crowd will tell you, that rich world crowd will tell you, I don't never have no problem. I don't never have no trouble drawing out of God. And they probably don't. You said, well, what is this battle? What do we got to battle? Verse number one, you got to battle the flesh. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? I'll tell you what you'll battle. You'll battle the flesh. You said, well, why have I got to battle the flesh? Well, flesh don't like God. Flesh don't care nothing about God. Flesh don't like to come to church. That's the reason why that you'll have to battle flesh. How awful battle tonight. There's a good Western on. Flesh said, why don't you sit down in that good chair there where it's warm, just watch it. Not do. But boy, I'm glad there's somebody on the inside said, it's a battle. You'll have to battle this flesh. Flesh didn't want to get out in this cold tonight and come to the house of God. Flesh had rather sit at the house with a good cold Pepsi. I'm just telling you like you know it. I ain't telling you nothing new. You'll have to battle the flesh to go out of God. Flesh don't want to come to the house of God. Flesh, this flesh is rotten. You said, how you know? I can tell you how to prove it. Don't watch it for 3 or 4 days, and it'll dawn on you. So you're going to have to battle the flesh. Flesh cares nothing about God. No, you have to battle the flesh, and then if we ever get spiritual enough to get by the flesh. Now, I can put some money in that meter. If we ever get spiritual enough to get by the flesh, we'll make it to verse number 4, then we got about the world. You adulterers and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if we just happen to get spiritual enough to get by the flesh, we got to battle the world. You said, well, why? Because the world's got everything to offer. The world has got everything to offer tonight. And you'll have to battle the world. To follow God and draw nigh to God, you'll have to battle this world. And that's the reason why some folks, I've heard people say, well, says, I can't go to church. Said, gas is a dollar and a half a gallon. That's on Sunday, but you can go to Walmart on Monday. David, I got too many parking places, son. I got to move on. I'm saying to you that you'll have to battle this world. The world is against us. But this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So you'll have to battle the flesh in the world. And if it's to get spiritual enough, to get past the flesh in the world, you've got to battle the devil in verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we blame a lot of things on the devil that the devil don't have to do. We don't hardly ever get spiritual enough to handle the flesh in the world. So why's the devil going to bother us? Why, the devil ain't bothering you. He's got them little imps to bother us. He's over yonder on them big jobs. So if we get by the flesh in the world, The devil might bother us a little bit, but we're going to have to tune up a little bit before we get by the flesh. I'm saying it is a battle to draw nigh to God. But you're going to have to begin somewhere. You're going to have to move up. Somewhere you're going to have to start in order to draw nigh to God. There's a beginning. And there's a battle. But I'm glad it's not all a beginning. And it's not all a battle. Let me give this some truth. Now, drawing nigh to God brings us to the blessings of drawing nigh to God. Thank God that is a blessing for a child of God to be close to his God. Verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Thank God, I'm glad there's more grace when you need it. And it's a blessing to draw nigh to our God. He says that God resisteth the proud. That's the reason why that you'll never get close to God with a prideful heart. He is against pride. He resists that. So you'll have to jump that pride, get a hold of you some more grace, and get close to God and enjoy the blessings of God. The blessing of drawing nigh to God, you'll find that it's the best place you can be for protection. The closer you are to God, thank God, the better you are protected. So it's the best place you can be for protection is when you draw close to God. You'll find in John chapter number 21 and verse number 20, that's the best place you can be for peace. Now, they had the fish fry, and all of them were sitting around gossiping. And John was laying on the breast of Jesus. He was listening to the heartbeat of eternity. He is learning to lean. He is leaning on Jesus. He is so close to him, he can hear all the talk that is going on. Of course, ratchet jaw Peter, he is a talking, wondering what everybody else is going to do. But John was a lead on the breast of Jesus. The closer you get to God, the less gossip you'll hear. Hello. I'm running out of dimes. Hey! The closer you get to God, the less talk you're going to hear that's going on in the church and in the community. He wasn't interested in what they're talking about because he had peace, because he had got so close to his God. That's the best place you'll ever be for peace. It's the closest you can get to God Almighty. He'll cut out a lot of that. But there's a place of protection. There is a place of peace. But now, you'll find in Luke 10, beginning in verse number 38, that there is a best part. Now, I may miss a lot of things, but I don't want to miss my part when God comes back. A lot of people miss their part because they're not where they're supposed to be. A lot of people miss their part because they're not as close to God as they ought to be. But here you will see that she has got in on the best part. I'm going to read it. Beginning in verse number 38, and that came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman, his name was Martha, received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that there is a good part you can get in on, and that is at the feet of Jesus. I will show you the difference in where Martha stood and where Mary sat. Where Martha stood, she was cumbered in serving. In other words, she had too much to do. She did not have time to get in on what was going on concerning Christ and in on the best part. She was cumbered in serving. A lot of times that's our problem. The reason we can't come to the house of God, the reason we can't come to revival, we've got too much to do. And what it is most of the time that we do that week, it's what we've been putting off for 11 months and 3 weeks. But then we say, well, I can't put this off no longer. This has got to be done. Now, you'll say, preacher, you have no idea what I have to do. Says you have no idea. Now watch it. She's cumbered in serving, but she's complaining about her sister.
Yeah.
Now, if you get too busy to get in on what God's got for you, it's going to get you to the place that you're going to complain about anybody else that gets in on it.
Amen.
Ain't we having a time tonight? Uh-huh. Why don't you swaying from the chandelier? She's complaining about her sister. And that's what people do when revival's over and they ain't moved an inch toward God and somebody else has. And they'll come and say, well, that's Holy Joe. Now they got in on their part, and you just sit right there and let God come by, and you missed your part, and they just went on. I learned a long time ago that God will not wait on you. I tell you what he'll do. He'll take the ones that's willing and ready to go, and he'll leave you sitting right where you are, washing your dishes. Whatever you want to do. She's complaining about her sister. And people that don't move up with God and get in on the best part, they'll become complainers about somebody else that shouts or somebody else that sings or somebody else that's got God on them. They'll complain about that. Well, just sit where you are. Don't get in. I will run over you. Now, she's cumbered in serving. She's complaining about her sister, but she's consumed in self-pity. She said, nobody has to do what I have to do. And that's what you'll say, said, if you had any idea, says, don't nobody help me do nothing at the house. I'm kind of liking this myself. You'll have your pity party. You're the only one that's doing anything. Nobody else is doing nothing. And she's consumed in self-pity. Now, I want to tell you, now, here's the danger of it. I read it to you. This will get you to the place that she's commanding the Savior. She said, Lord, why don't you make her get up off the floor from your feet and come in here and help me. Next thing you know, you'll be a telling God what he ought to do. Now, that's where Martha stood. Now, watch where Mary sat. Where Mary sat, you'll see controlled speech. I'm preaching on drawing nigh to God, in case you forgot. Mary's sitting at his feet, looking dead in his eyes, not missing one word he said. And you'll see that her speech is controlled. I'll tell you what'll knock the cussing and complaining out of you. If you'll get at the feet of Jesus and get in on your part, it'll stop all that. Now, she never said one word back to her sister. She never said a word. She just kept sitting right where she is at. Controlled speech. Now watch it. And then we see a calm spirit. She wasn't nervous. She wasn't upset. But she is just as calm as she could be. Now watch it. We see that she has a comfortable seat. She ain't squirming around. She ain't wondering what time it is. Said he's done preached 32 minutes. I'll tell you what, if you were you ought to be with God, you'd be comfortable sitting on a nail keg. You'd be comfortable sitting on a 5-gallon bucket if you were you ought to be with God. And you in on that best part, you don't know what time it is. You don't give a rip what time it is. Son, she could care less what time it was. Lord God, she's comfortable. She has no idea what's going on. She cares less about the dirty dishes in the floor. She don't care if the cabinet's dusty. She's in on the best part. Now watch it. They are both in the same house. The lovely Lamb of God is there in person. One got in on it and the other didn't. Sometime we'll wonder, said God is there. Said God was in that thing today so, and God is in that thing last night so. Said, why in the world didn't everybody get in on it? I don't know. I'm just telling you what this Bible story says. They both in the same house. God is there in person. One gets in on it and the other don't. But just because somebody don't, that ought to keep you from getting in on your part. When God comes by and said, sit down right here, said, I've got something for you today. You better sit down and pay close attention. You better get comfortable. Get your mind cleared off of everything else and get focused in on him and draw nigh to him. Because that's the best place a child of God can be. It's the closest you can get to God. Whatever you do, don't miss your part. Your part might not have been last night. Your part may not be tonight. But I'll guarantee you that God has got something for you. So don't miss it. 33 minutes. I'm going to give you the message and I'm through. We've got 4 grandchildren now. From age 7 to age 20. I know I don't look like I got a grandson 20, but I have. the 20-year-old Matthew. When he was a little boy, wherever you saw his paw, you saw him. Now, he stuck with me. We was on the road then. They traveled with us a long time, him and his mom and daddy, and then they had quit traveling with us. Me and Bonnie had been on the road for weeks, and we come home. Got home sometime after dark on Saturday, and I'd been preaching for weeks and weeks and weeks. Closed out on Friday night somewhere, drove all night and all day to get home. Well, here comes Scott and Karen Matthew. And he comes in talking. And he follows me every step I make. I'm trying to see about the mail. I'm trying to see about this. I'm trying to see who all I got to call. He's walking right along behind me. Never shut up. I'm talking about like a radio player. It's Paul this, Paul that. I said, It's right. Well, they stayed on for a little while, and it got about bedtime. Matthew said this to me. He said, Paul, I want to stay all night. I said, no. You ain't staying tonight. I said, I'm tired. I'm give out. I've got to go to bed. I've got to rest. You ain't staying tonight, said Paul. Please let me spend. Nope. You're going home with your mom and daddy. You ain't a staying. He said, Paul, please. I said, Matthew, I don't want to hear it no more. You ain't staying. He said, but Paul, if you'll just let me explain it. I said, no, you ain't going to explain it. There's no explaining to do. You're going home. He said, but Paul, if you'll just let me explain it. I said, no, Matthew. He said, but Paul, just please let me explain it. I said, okay. I said, all right. If it'll satisfy you, explain it and you can go to the house with your mom and dad. And this is what he said. He said, Paul, the only reason I didn't want to stay all night with you is because I love you. I said, well, you've explained it. I said, go tell your mom and dad to go on. God took what that baby said to me, Ken. He melted in my heart like a popsicle. He followed me 2 hours, Brother Mike. He never said, Paul, did you bring me anything off this trip? He never said, Paul, you going to carry me to town and buy me something? He never said, Paul, you going to give me some money? He said, the only reason I ain't want to be close to you. It's because I love you. He hadn't asked for not one thing. And I got to thinking about what that would do to the heart of God. If just once in a while we'd come and say, God, I don't need a thing. I just want to spend a day with you today because I love you. I'll tell you what, it'll change your life as a child of God if you get to the place that you want to be around Him because you love Him. After Matthew got grown, we deer hunt. Please don't tell the brother, but we deer hunt. And we steal hunt. We run with dogs. And that day we was going to run with the dogs. Well, they put me on the first stand. They went on and got on the other stands. Well, I stayed there a little while and I never heard nary dog. I never seen no deer. So I said, well, I'm going to just walk back up there on the hill.
I was walking around, walked back up on the hill, and a little bit I heard him and his daddy coming. And I heard Scotty said, "Hey, Daddy." I could hear him, but I won't answer. "Hey, Daddy." I heard him tell Matthew, "So we're lynching right here." "Hey, Daddy." I won't answer. And Matthew said, "Let me get ahead." I said, "I can find Paul." Scotty said, "Matthew, you can't find Paul. I don't call him." He said, "Let me get ahead. I can find Paul." And he said, "How are you going to find Paul?" He said, "I know what he smells like." That's close, son. Now that's close. You hear me? The lily of the valley. Sweet rose of Sharon. Thank God, he said, "I know what he smells. I can find it." He's 20 year old now. As a man said to me last year, he said, "Well, I bet you don't come by now not want nothing." He said, "I bet he comes in now and asks us for something every time he see you." I said, "Nope. Don't never ask for nothing." I said, "He don't have to." I said, "He don't have to ask for nothing. I asked him, does he need anything?" Boy, there's something about when God knows that you love him, you don't have to ask him for half as much. He'll come by and ask you every once in a while, "Do you need a little something?" He's 20 year old when he comes in, walks by and kisses his mama, comes by and kisses me on top of the head and says, "How y'all doing, Paul?" And we stay 5 minutes, kiss both of us and leave. Son, when God knows you love him, and when you get close enough to him because you love him, you won't have to ask him for half as much. That's right. You said, "Well, preacher, why do we want to get close to God?" The reason ought to be because we love him with all our heart. Not for what he does for us, but because of who he is and how much we love him. That moves the heart of God. When we come to our God and said, "God, I don't need nothing. I just want to hang around with you today. I just want to be close to you because I love you." You wonder why God blesses some people so much? God knows how much they love him. They don't have to ask for as much. God help us to want to draw nigh to our God because we love him.